Artaphernes had been well rewarded by his royal brother for the blow that struck down Bardia. Sardis was by any reckoning a great and fitting prize. The capital of the West, it ranked, in the opinion of the Persians, as one of the four corners of their dominion, a city so fabulously wealthy that even its rivers ran with gold. Master of the West he might be, but Artaphernes, faithful Artaphernes, knew better than to forget for even a moment that he was merely his brother's vassal, his servant, his bandaka. Although, to instill in the locals a due sense of Persian majesty, he had modelled his court on Darius's own, he ruled it not as a king himself, but rather as the guardian of the king's power, as a satrap. In 513 BC, fresh from his triumphs in India, Darius had rolled into Sardis with a vast army, crossed from Asia into Europe, and then vanished north into what is now the Ukraine on a great raid against the Scythians. The various Greek tyrants, ordered to play their part in the Persian war effort, had been sent with their squadrons into the Black Sea to build a pontoon bridge across the mouth of the Danube and await their royal master's return. Among them, recently brought under the Persian yoke, and not very happy about it, had been the Athenian aristocrat and tyrant Miltiades. And he had conceived an audacious plan. What if the Greeks, by cutting the bridge, were to strand Darius and his army on the Danube's freezing northern bank? Scythia was certainly no place to pass a winter. A conference of the tyrants had duly been convened. Miltiades had pressed his case. For a brief, intoxicating moment, the other Greeks had allowed themselves to be swayed, until reason, inglorious but pragmatic, had prevailed. After all, as every Ionian tyrant was perfectly aware, there was not one of them but he owed Darius his position as head of state. The prospect of liberty might have been sweet, but not so sweet, it appeared, when weighed in the balance as the reality of power.